Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. You know, Tim, they're copying. One of the networks is copying our Saturday Strong, this college football. I don't know if it's ABC, NBC, but they're copying us. They're calling themselves Saturday Strong.
You said that already. You said that a couple of weeks ago.
But I keep hearing it. They're not stopping. Did you send the cease and desist?
Did we not patent our Saturday Strong
theme? It was a trademark.
Trademark, yeah.
Intellectual properties. But anyway, we've got the Saturday Strong Hero World Challenge. And did you watch the Hero World Challenge round one? We're recording this on Friday morning early.
I did not watch round one of the Hero World Challenge, although I did see Jordan Spieth's shot from the water. And I'm more so curious, Steve, how your Thanksgiving was and what you did, what you ate, where you went. Did you have everyone over at the hotel at Thanksgiving?
No, I told you before that we were invited by a family that adopted us.
Oh, right, the Normans. Yeah, Greg Norman.
Yeah, the Norminators.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, a lot of eating. We had the fried turkey. We had the roasted turkey. We had the jalapenos with the cream cheese. So very, very good. We had assorted sides. And then we had the main event was about, I'm saying about a 3-pound prime rib roast on the barbecue. It was beautiful, beautiful thing.
Wow. You're a very picky eater too, because not only are you dairy free, you're gluten free too, aren't you? You're both, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do they prepare
for
the great predictor when you're so detailed on what you eat?
Well, it's like the military used to be, Tim, you know? Sometimes you just gotta don't ask and don't tell.
Hmm.
Don't ask, don't tell. But yeah, I mean, there's some things that you realize, hey, the stuffing, the bread stuffing, yeah, I mean, come on, that's got gluten. The gravy, absolutely.
You can
gluten,
make stuffing gluten free. I had stuffing gluten free.
You can do it, but they didn't do it. And so I pick and choose. You know, the cranberries, no gluten. A lot of sugar, but no gluten. But I just try to do my best.
Okay.
I got to thank my wife for that, because she's the one that really does the research on that and all that. So, anywho,
I was going to ask you if you watched round one of the Hero World Challenge.
I did watch some around one, yes. Yes, I was teaching quite a bit yesterday, but I did watch around one. Looked good. I tell you what, Daniel Berger's leading in round one. And this guy, I mean, you don't see much of this guy on TV, do you?
He's a bulldog.
Is that what he is?
Yeah, he's a hard worker. He's a grinder. No, he's not a Georgia Bulldog. He's just a Bulldog in general.
Well, he's, he was Rookie of the Year back in like 2015.
Yeah.
PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. His father is a pro tennis guy, Davis Cup captain at one point. He was a guy that I'm not really sure about his upbringing. I mean, he was pretty much on his own. He was a young guy. I don't think he graduated from college. When he came out on the tour in 2015, he was the only guy that when Scott Pinckney was a rookie and I was teaching him, I'd travel with him. And every time we played a practice round with Daniel Berger would say, okay, hey, what do you want to play for? What are we playing for? And Scott said, we're not playing for anything. I'm out here practicing. Daniel Berger is a gambler. He's the type of guy that he loves the action. He, in a way, is a lot like Patrick Reed. Not in the fact that he's so controversial, but he marches to the beat of his own drummer. That's for sure. He's his own man. He is product of the XY generation. He's not your typical, although on the golf course, he dresses like a traditional golfer. When he gets off the golf course, he's skinny jeans. He's a tight t-shirt. He could go hat sideways. He looks like a rap star.
Have you ever worn your hat sideways or backwards on a golf course? Ever?
Never.
Ever?
Never. Never.
Maybe you should evolve a little bit more.
There's a purpose to the cap. And the purpose to the cap is to keep the glare out of the sunglasses or the glasses. When you go sideways or backward, that's a fashion statement, Tim. That's not a utility.
But sometimes, that's a fashion statement. But sometimes when you wear your hat backwards, it protects the sun from the back of your neck. It's true.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, then wear a big bucket cap then. That's what you're worried about. Bucket cap, Tim.
Joel Dahlman?
We'll call you Gilligan.
Yeah.
That'd be your new nickname.
Mm. Joel Dahlman
Skipper
has really
Marianne.
Made a career out of the bucket hat.
Yeah, that's true. Before him, there was another guy who's on the Champions Tour now. Oh, gosh, name escapes me. But you know what? For this week, I'm thinking back to the Hero World Challenge. I'm thinking that this could be a pretty good weekend of golf because you've got a lot of the top players here, which is unusual. I think it's a dedication. I think it's respect to the godfather of golf, which is Tiger Woods, that he could attract all these guys. I mean, how many times has Rory McIlroy played golf in December? You got Justin Thomas, who's a friend of Tiger Woods. Brooks Koepka, he should be at the clubs right now. He should be getting a waxing. Tony Finau would play anywhere, anytime. So would Patrick Reed. Well, I mean, you looked at farther down the road here. You got Henrik Stenson. I'm not sure why he's here. Did he win last year? I think he did win last year. That's why he's there. You got your Jordan Spieth, which is unusual. I think that's out of respect to Tiger. I don't think if it was anyone else, I don't think he would be playing right now. And then you've got some guys that are part of the Tiger Woods XL Sports Management Mark Steinberg team. And I'm not sure exactly who they are. I know Daniel Berger used to be.
Justin
Rose. Tiger Woods guy. Justin Rose is.
Yep.
He barely got on the leaderboard. He's way down there. And I'm not sure who else is, but I'm sure that's out of respect for the agent's ability to put this together and mostly for Tiger, don't you think?
Did you know that if Colin Morikawa wins this event, I'm pretty sure that he will be the number one golfer in the world ahead of Jon Rahm?
Man, that's saying something. Guy's 20, was he 25 years old, 24, 25 years old?
Something like that. Yeah.
You know where he went to school?
I do.
And I'm crediting that school for his to pick University of California, Berkeley, and to have aspirations of being a pro golfer doesn't really make sense. Not because the academics are so tough, and they are tough. You're competing with the best of the best, most California residents. You got a little private university down the road that thinks that they're number one, and they could be, which is Stanford. But to play golf at the University of California is a tough deal, and let me tell you why. I know firsthand because I did it. Our home course back in the day was a course called Tilden Park, which is up at the top of the Berkeley Mountains. And to call them mountains is a little bit of an overstatement, but to get into the East Bay area, you have to go through a tunnel to get to Orinda and, gosh, I can't even remember a lot of the cities over there east of the mountains. But Tilden Park was right up at the top of the mountains, always cold, shaded all the time. You thought you were playing golf. The condition of the course was not very good. And then we'd go to Mira Vista. We'd go to Orinda. And every one of these is not like it's Stanford. It's on campus. The golf course where you practice, OU, OSU, both OSUs, Oklahoma State University and Ohio State University, the golf courses are right there on campus. It's very easy to get to. They've got a big dedication to golf, those schools. At University of California, Berkeley, you're playing golf courses based on their, not ability, but their invitation that you can come and play. And at every one of them's a drive. It's a pain in the butt to get to a lot of these courses because you got traffic and all that. So that's saying a lot for Colin Morikawa and those that have come before him, Ben On, Charlie Wee. I'm trying to think of some of the others.
Max Homa.
Max Homa, there you go, right there. It wouldn't necessarily be on paper your number one choice for a school to play golf at.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I want a little credit here because after he won his second PGA Tour event, the Workday Charity Classic or Charity Open, which was a fill-in tournament during the COVID season, when he beat Justin Thomas in the playoff that went a few holes, Justin Thomas made like this 45-foot putt. And in order to extend the playoff or extend the tournament, Colin Morikawa had to make a 26-footer. And he drilled the 26-footer. And he not only did this once, but I'm pretty sure he did this twice. And after he made those putts, I came on the Hank Haney podcast and said, this guy will be the number one player in the world one day just because of his composure, his big time game mentality. He just makes big time putts, big time shots when he needs to. He's definitely not the greatest putter in the world, but when he gets to a tournament, he has the ability to get the putter hot. It's not necessarily about being the greatest putter, I don't think, but if you can have a few weeks a year, especially in major championships, where your putter will come alive, Colin Morikawa has proved that, and that's how he won both of his major championships, and that's why he could be the number one player in the world.
Well, you know what? That's awesome that you said that because I must not have been listening to you when you made that prediction. But that is a bold. He's number two right now in the world golf ranking. So it would make sense that, hey, you know, this guy, and he's not a real big guy. I mean, he's not like the model of the new generation golfer. He's not a big, tall guy like Scottie Scheffler, nor is he, you know, like a Bryson DeChambeau, big muscular guy. He's very slight, 160 pounds, 5'9". He's 24 years old. And one of the things I got to say that in addition to his technique, his obviously he's gotten some great instruction. He's modeled some great golfers. He does have a feel. His game, you can tell that he's a feel type player in that he can create shots. And in addition to that, he is very mentally comfortable with himself. He doesn't look like he gets rattled. He doesn't look like, oh my gosh, I got a chance to win. And this is what, you know, this could mean. I think he stays in the moment better than most. And he may be nervous, but it doesn't mean it's one of the fallacies of professional golf that a lot of amateurs will get into this mindset. And is thinking that, hey, I've got to feel comfortable in order to execute. And all these guys are nervous.
Yeah.
So that's a great indication that the nerves, if you're trying to eliminate the nerves, then you're heading down the wrong path. If you're trying to get a technique, oh, I just got to feel comfortable. I can't get nervous. I'm surprised I keep getting nervous. Jordan Spieth will tell you, like we've mentioned many times, that that's what these guys play for. They play for the feelings of getting nervous. And because they know if they're nervous, this means something, and it means something to them. So good on for Colin Morikawa. I don't know if he's going to make that this week. I think he's got a tall task to win this tournament. I know he just got engaged. He's got a lot going on in his life. He's probably thinking, hey, you know what? I worked hard this year. I'm just going to take it easy and get ready for this next season. But we'll see. I mean, if he does, Tim, I'm going to have to put you into the Predictor Apprentice program.
Hey.
If you get this one.
I appreciate that. One thing about Morikawa's game, and we'll close on this, and then we'll get into some Tiger talk after the break. He's a very streaky player, and I think you can credit that due to his streaky putter. You look at his finishes last year, missed cut in the U.S. Open, missed cut in the Shriners, tied for 12th in the CJ Cup, tied for 50th in the Zozo, tied for 44th in the Masters. And then he goes T7, T7, T43 win in the WGC. After his win, he goes T41, T56, T18, T7, missed cut, T8, T14, second T4, and then a win in the Open Championship. So there's a lot of up and down with his game. But like I said before, in big moments, when he's in contention, he seems to really rise to the occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. Only missing four cuts. That's pretty good for a young guy. Just getting to understand and know these golf courses. But these other guys have been playing for a long time. One of the things, last point here, Tim, that we don't really realize when we look at a guy's record for the previous year is, hey, we don't know if he got the good draw or the bad draw. What I mean by that, does he have a good group? I'm talking about, is the weather good or bad when he's teeing off in some of these? You got to figure it's a 50-50 opportunity. But some of these missed cuts, I bet you he had the bad draw. The weather was bad. It turned a little bit. It could have happened in the U.S. Open. I'm not sure about the Shriners, because you got to go deep in order to make the cut at the Shriners. I think the cut was like 7 or 8 under in the Shriners this last year in 2020.
But you could argue that with any player. I mean, not even two player. So
that's true. But one of the things is he's getting to just know these golf courses. And yeah, they do change golf courses sometimes, but a lot of these courses are played at the same venues, and there is an advantage. That's why when you get that small field to the Masters, that's why a lot of these older guys are doing well. They know the course very well. There's no tricks for them like there is the guys that are just first or second timers. So, Hey, we're going to take a break right now.
Yeah.
This is your part, but you said we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
You're going to talk either about the Haney University, or you're going to talk about the Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, which is helping my knee, by the way. And then when we get back, we're going to talk a little about TW.
Yeah, let's do that.
Tiger
Go
Woods.
To HaneyUniversity.com and sign up for a golf lesson with Hank Haney. You can also go to the OneShotSliceFix.com, and there is a small fee. I think it's like $47 or something. Hank has a video details, and he has so many testimonials about how successful this one-shot slice fix program is. So go to OneShotSliceFix.com, get this video, because it will help your golf game tremendously in 5 minutes. So go there, go to Haney University as well. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Saturday Strong. This is not the Saturday Strong. If you tuned in for the Saturday Strong College Football, you've gotten the wrong place. This is the Saturday Strong, the original Saturday Strong, Hank Haney podcast. Steve Johnson, Minnesota Tim Perochka. We feel violated.
We understand the confusion, but we do feel a little violated.
Yeah, I mean, God dang. Can they not think of their own original? I mean, I thought our deal was original.
Are you sure you didn't rip it off from them?
No, remember Caddy John, he said it was the Saturday, not the Strong, but the Saturday. What was his deal? And I kept saying Saturday Strong, and so I thought it just worked out that way, which is awesome.
Wow.
So
just think how much money we could be making if we trademarked Saturday Strong.
Yeah, I know. Another mistake on our part.
Yeah.
Another mistake. So Tiger Woods press conference. I tell you what, I thought it was very good, very nice that he came to his own event. A few years when he's been injured, he hadn't been able to come to the event. Obviously, he's not playing this week, but he's there as the host. They keep showing his big yacht in the harbor there. You see that, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not watching it, so you don't see it.
Yeah.
It's nice that he is finally getting the respect. And I shouldn't say finally, but these guys coming to his event was a show of respect for Tiger Woods. These guys have had a long season. Coming off the COVID, Tim, you know, we've had, you know, like 12 majors in 1 year, and we've got the Masters was in November a year and a half ago. Then we had the U.S. Open in September. These last 2 years have been crazy. But these guys, out of respect for Tiger, they said, hey, you know what? If Tiger's hosting a tournament, I will be there. And really good field this week. So Tiger did a couple press conferences. Overall thoughts of the press conference, did he give you anything that you could really grab onto and really learn anything about Tiger? What are your thoughts?
Well, he gave a few quotes that stood out. He was talking about realistically playing on the PGA Tour. He said, I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day. Never full-time ever again, but pick and choose, just like Hogan did. Pick and choose a few events a year, and you play around that. You practice around that, and you gear yourself up for that. I think that's how I'm going to have to play it from now on. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's my reality, and I understand it, and I accept it. So in that quote, it appears that Tiger is obviously accepting what his injury was and what his injury will do to him in the future. But regardless of his injury, I'm pretty sure that he's going to be picking and choosing whether or not he had this car accident or not. I mean, I'm sure it got reduced even more because of the car accident, just because of what he's able to do. But it sounds like he's expecting to be back on the PGA Tour one day, which is why he said, I'm going to pick and choose. And just the fact that he can play on the PGA Tour again, I know Hank's concern for Tiger was if he could walk the amount of miles each day that's demanded from PGA Tour golfers. Hilly golf courses like the Masters, walking from the driving range to the golf course, walking from the clubhouse to the golf course, you know, all these different things. That was Hank's big concern. Hank wasn't worried about just hitting shots, but Tiger expects to be out there, and I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'm ready to predict the tournaments that he's going to be playing in too.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines South is an event that he's not going to be playing in anymore. The course is too long. It's too hard. I mean, it is a tough walk. I remember in 2008 in the U.S. Open there, they had a little bit of rough, but I was walking the course for a week. And I tell you what, my back tightened up, and I don't even have back problems. But the moist air, it's not that it's so hilly, but it's just the overall, it covers a lot of acreage. There's some room between the greens and the next tee, just the little ups and downs in walking in grass and a lot of trees with the roots and all that stuff. I don't see him playing in that event anymore. I think the first event that he plays in, and we'll see here very shortly, is he going to play in the father-son or the parent-child tournament with Charlie? That would be a good indication on, hey, does he think he's ready in a few months to really gear it up? If he doesn't play in that tournament, which when is the father-son? The father-son?
Next week.
Is it next week?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Okay. So I'm not sure that he's going to play in that. If he does, then for sure, my prediction will be right. His first tournament will be the Genesis Invitational. Tiger Woods Foundation is the host, the benefactor from that event, the Genesis, gives money to the Tiger Woods Foundation. He's got to come to that. He hadn't played in it since he's been the lead sponsor.
Then why do you think he's playing it this year or next year?
Because
he'll be ready for it?
If he's available. If he's ready to play, yes, that's in February. And then I'm looking at his second event will be the Players.
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he'll skip the Players. He hasn't played there for a while either.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that
people
gets,
are talking
that
about his first event potentially being the Open at St. Andrews just because of its flat nature and it's not very hilly. I don't know.
You're talking about in July?
You think his debut
is going to be in July?
That's just speculation.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about, Tim.
I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that's what people are throwing out there.
Really? So no Masters? So you're saying no Masters?
Well, that's not what I'm saying. That's what people are saying. Because Tiger's not walking very good right now. He's still, he can swing a golf club and hit shots, but he's walking slow.
Have you seen him walking? I mean, have they showed him walking?
Yeah.
Heavy, and it's not good. I haven't seen that.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's not good. He's wobbling around a little bit.
You know, he's a little bit of a fabricator too. I mean, he'll embellish. I mean, you know, like he'll peg leg that thing out there, and then all of a sudden, how? I mean, the guy's, he's lifting weights.
Yeah.
He's doing lower body. He's doing heavy lunges.
He didn't miss arm day.
It was his arm day.
He's, I mean,
his arms were huge. Yeah. His arms were huge. Yeah, he's puffed up. He's got to be taking a lot of supplements. And I'm not saying he's taking anything illegal. I'm just saying that those supplements make you puff up. I saw a picture of one of the biggest star athletes the other day. You know who it is. I'm the top, Conor McGregor, the genius. He was all puffed up. He's getting ready for a fight. He's going to fight Nate Diaz again, the trilogy. And he's all puffed up. So these guys, when they're building muscle, they do carry a lot of water weight with them as well. I guess that helps recover. I'm not sure exactly why, but it helps build muscle. And then they'll lean up. And that's what Tiger will do. But his arms are huge. Arms, shoulders. He's probably doing a lot of pull-ups. But I guess I'm not ready to predict then. I've got to see him. I got to see him mobile before I make my prediction. I was ready to go Genesis.
You jumped players, the gun. You jumped the gun.
Masters, U.S. Open, PGA, then U.S. Open, then Open Championship, and be done for the year. That was what I was going to do.
Six events, seven events.
Yeah, yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. And if he has, does he have any other? Are there any other tournaments that his Tiger Woods Foundation is benefits from? If there are, he'll play in those.
He's been a Zozo guy. I think he does something with that tournament, pretty sure.
Yeah, that's true. That may be.
Will he play in the Hero going forward?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he'll play in that. He's got to. It's his tournament.
He doesn't have to.
Well, I mean, can you imagine the guy? I saw the chairman of the Hero motorcycle, the Indian guy, and he's probably saying, hey, man, we're putting all this money in your event. We're giving all this money to the Tiger Woods Foundation. You've got to at least show face here, man.
Yeah.
Now he is going to be in the booth on the Golf Channel. He's going to be in the booth Saturday for like 2.5 hours, I think.
Really?
So that'll be interesting. He'll have a lot of stupid jokes. Let's not confuse him. He's no Phil Mickelson in the booth. No way.
Yeah.
He's not witty. He's not spontaneous. He'll have some canned jokes, but no, he's not a Phil Mickelson. He's not a guy that can really fill in the gaps between shots and talk about players and talk about, you know, he'll talk about his buds.
How much will the announcers be gushing over Tiger?
You'll probably have the gusher Nota Begay. He'll be out there walking. He'll be doing some commentary. But, I mean, you know what? If I got invited, if I was one of the 20 guys that got invited to the event, and there's like 16 guys that qualify based on, it's based on your world ranking. I remember one year Ben Curtis was invited. He got, he was up there. He was 19th in the world. I think that was the highest he'd ever been. I'd been helping him back then, and he got invited. It was neat. It was a neat experience for him.
Did you see Tiger's swing video on Twitter?
I did. I commented on it, and some gal said that I was a hater.
Okay, let's get into that next. I also have a conspiracy. Well, not really a conspiracy, but sort of a conspiracy that I want to explain next. If Tiger Woods can't walk, what's going to happen? I'm going to explain that next. Go to voodoopainterleaf.com for a free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. This product will take care of your aches and pains. And as Steve Johnson is undressing his sweatshirt right now, he's going to get some Voodoo Pain Relief Cream because he's going to hurt his shoulder. Steve Johnson cannot hear a single word that I'm saying. So go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now for a free 2-week supply. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Saturday Strong podcast. And you know what? I'm thinking, Tim, we may need to change the name of this podcast, the Hank Haney podcast, Saturday Strong, to the Hank Haney podcast, the real Saturday Strong podcast.
I thought you were going to say the Friday Funkadelic.
No, the original Strong Saturday.
The original Strong. Okay.
Yeah.
Very catchy.
Yes. Yes. I did hear from, we talked about Caddy John in the first segment, and he reached out not too long ago, sent me a Twitter, little tweet. I responded, and it was nice to hear from Caddy John. We haven't heard from Caddy John since the Sirius XM days.
Oh, no, he's made himself well known in the...
Has he?
On the Hank Haney podcast. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you had an announcement you were going to make.
No, I don't have any announcement. I have a prediction. This is the
prediction. Predictor. Okay.
If Tiger can't walk on the PGA Tour, if he can't walk enough holes, if his leg won't support him, I guarantee you the PGA Tour will allow him a cart exemption on any golf course that he wants, even the Masters.
Okay, here's a prediction to follow up on your prediction.
Okay.
Tiger Woods will never do that. Never. He will never do that.
I think he's humble enough
to do it. He wouldn't allow himself to do it. If he couldn't walk the 72 holes, he would not play in an event. I mean, I don't know if this would ever happen, but just think, okay, he at the Masters, they allow him to ride a golf cart. That's a tough walk. I mean, up and down the hills, down to Rays Creek, up to the clubhouse, all that stuff. And he wins. Do we have, that's his 16th major with an asterisk after it? I mean, those other guys are having to walk. I don't think he does it. I don't think there's any way that he would do that. I mean, one of the good questions is, now that he's 45 years old, almost going to be 46 years old, does he do what Phil does, and does he go to the Champions Golf Tour?
I don't know. Maybe one event.
He always said when he was younger, he said he was never, I mean, he didn't even consider that. I mean, I think back when I knew him.
Priorities changed.
He thought he would be a colonel in the SEAL team or something by now. But I don't think he rides in a cart. I don't think he's going to do that.
You got a lot of hate for your Tiger Woods observations on Twitter. This is Dave Wynn response. Not for nothing, but this is so funny.
Okay, so read what I wrote.
Okay. Tiger Woods swing observation. Number one, swing shape across the line at the top makes Tiger Woods dependent on timing. Number two, excessive turn through with shoulders compensates for swing shape. Number three, swinging with swing speed could get ugly. Tiger Woods best with a neutral swing shape and better hand, arm, body sync. And I love this guy's response, Dave Wynn. Not for nothing, but did anyone ask for your opinion? Tempo and ball flight look awfully good.
What are you laughing about?
It's just funny.
What are you laughing about? That is a knowledgeable opinion.
I believe that. I believe in your opinion. But it's funny how people just are so quickly to terrorize any opinions that are critical.
He's entitled to his comment. I appreciate him reading mine. And maybe when it plays out, he's going to realize that he's full of crap.
Yeah, it's funny. And then someone else responds too. It's a little harsh. Tiger Woods could have died. Amazing progress in 10 months. And
That was a funny one. Yeah. I mean, the lady got all, you know, she got all worked up. Oh, Tiger Woods could have died. Hey, did you ever think that he could have killed somebody when he fell asleep at the wheel? Come on.
You're also saying it is remarkable for Tiger to be swinging a golf club again. You're not saying that it's not remarkable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but let's put it in perspective. I mean, when Tiger Woods holds onto a golf club, everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, it's perfect. It's not a perfect swing. I don't think he could play the type of golf that he needs to, that he wants to play to win majors with that type of swing. Because when you speed that swing up, that ball goes everywhere. His swing when he was playing well, when he won the Masters in 2019, did not look like that. And plus, this is a slow motion swing. This is a swing that, and I was pleased that he got ball turf. Typically, he just picks them clean, but a little ball turf, that was nice. And looks a little LPGA-ish. And what I mean by that is there used to be girls on the PGA or the LPGA that would turn through a lot with their shoulders to compensate for the fact that their swing shape was a little bit off. The relationship of their club and their arms to their body was off, so they'd have to turn through a lot. When Tiger Woods was his best, he did not turn through that much with a half wedge. I'm just saying. Just saying.
I don't know. I mean, the swing looks pretty typical Tiger to me. I mean, if I compared that swing to a swing he had before the car crash, it looks the exact same to me. Now, that could just be my average golfer showing out, but
I don't right. know. Well, I mean, it's your ignorance. That's what it is. It is. But that's okay. I mean, his rhythm looks the same. His athleticism looks the same. His calf development does not look the same. Calf development is very underwhelming. He's got no calves. And I mean, at the Hero World Challenge, when he was in his interview, he said, "I'm glad I didn't lose my leg." And when you put the reality to it, when you look at what happened, he's got a guardian angel watching after him. I'm telling you that could have been so much worse. It was bad. It was bad. That could have been so much worse than it was.
Well,
can you imagine if he didn't have his? Can you imagine if he, well, first of all, the guy gets into his car to drive and he's on medication. He's on sleeping medication. And if he didn't put his seatbelt on, I mean, he probably wouldn't have been alive.
Do we know that he was on sleeping medication?
I know that he was on sleeping medication. That's all we need to know right
okay.
there.
Okay.
I know he was on sleeping medication.
Inside source.
Guy has a hard time sleeping. You know, and sometimes we see him, and everyone that's listening to this podcast has seen Tiger Woods in interviews and pictures where he looks like, wow, that guy's hammered. He looks like totally drunk. His eyes are half masked. That's what sleeping medication does to you.
Mm.
It sedates you. It helps you wind down. It helps you get to sleep. It helps you stay asleep. And I mean, it is a miracle that not only that he only got the injuries that he got, which was a bad compound fracture of his leg, which is a bad injury, didn't damage his back at all, didn't kill himself and didn't kill someone else, is a miracle. And I hope that he realizes that he dodged. I mean, he when he hit the fire hydrant, that was not a death-defying experience or even defining experience, other than the fact that if Elon would have hit him with a 5-iron or something. But hitting the fire hydrant wasn't going to put him in jeopardy of dying.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to drown to death. But this accident was, I mean, he is so lucky. So lucky. And to the tweet, in response to the tweet, yeah, he could have died, but other people could have died too. And, you know, I hope he learned from it, and I hope he realizes that, hey, you know what, I'm getting another chance. And he wants to do something for his kids too, in the fact that I don't think, it's not that he wants to make more money for his kids. He wants to show his son and daughter what it takes to get to the top. And what it really takes. And although he's not going to climb to the top of the mountain, number one in the world ever again, but I think that there's things that he wants to teach his kids, and a mark he wants to make on his kids. He knows how tough it's going to be Tiger Woods' kid, just like it was tough for Jack Nicklaus's kids, or Gary Player's kids, or Lee Trevino's kids, guys that are the top of golf. It's tough for their kids to follow in their footsteps. And it looks like Charlie, I'm not sure how intelligent the kid is or what his goals are, but the allure of being a professional athlete is out there for all young boys. So I might think Tiger wants to teach his son some stuff.
Yeah, good point. All right, good points by the great predictor, Steve Johnson. If you want to follow him, go follow him on Twitter at greatpredictor1 and, you know, send him some mean tweets or something like that. Have some fun with him.
Send me some videos.
Yeah, at, send him some
videos. S. Johnson at champ, C-H-A-M-P, golf, G-O-L-F, .net. S. Johnson at champgolf.net. And we'll turn that video right around to you, give you something to work on. I use the platform Coach Now. And it's great because we can exchange videos for NC. You know what that means? Tim, no. NC, no charge.
No charge.
No charge.
Yes.
This is just my thank you to you for listening and helping you with your golf game.
Absolutely. All right. The Great Predictor delivering again. Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the Hank Haney Podcast. Go out there, hit some bombs, and make some putts, and leave the flagstick in. Because play is faster, and you have a better likelihood of making the putt. Everyone have a great weekend.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.